It's interesting, the song that we sang, again, it's very rare, if ever, the worship team and I ever coordinate what I'm going to say and what they're going to lead. I don't think, in fact, I don't know if I've ever done that. But it was so perfect, that song. When you walk into the room, everything changes. And I'm singing that, I'm like, wow, how perfect God is in bringing things together. And when we're led by the Spirit of God, you know, he surprises us in how he leads us and guides us. And, you know, that's essentially pretty much what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Often what is needed in our lives, in the lives of people that you may be, you know, thinking about, praying about, where you're like, oh, if they could just change this about their life, or if they could just do these things differently, if I could do these things differently. You know, we often say that, right? But often what is needed before the change in behavior, before a change in patterns, is a change in our paradigm. And I want to read to you a scripture this morning that highlights exactly what I'm talking about, exactly what we were singing about this morning. And it's found in Acts chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the book of Acts chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 19. Man, I am still rocked by the Holy Spirit right now. Wow. Woo! More, Lord. More, Lord, more. Amen, amen. Acts chapter 9, verses 1. I'm going to read a lot, okay? So here we go. 1 to 19. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, then rose and was baptized. Taking food, he was strengthened. This message that I will be preaching this morning, hopefully, I don't know how long it'll go, but we'll see, is called The Power of a Paradigm Shift. Will you pray with me? Do what only you can do, Lord. Awaken in us a passion for your name. Open our eyes that we may see in a new way who you are and who we are. And may the preaching of your word open our hearts to hear, to receive revelation from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you a story that I read in a book by an author by the name of Stephen Covey. He's a leadership expert, not sure if he's a believer or not, a secular leadership professional, and he's written many books. And, you know, God can speak through secular wisdom. He absolutely can. And now this talk isn't, it doesn't have to do with leadership, but there is something in that book that caught my attention I want to share with you. It's about this thing that we're talking about called a paradigm shift. So Stephen Covey in his book, he mentions that he received a small paradigm shift when he was on the subway going somewhere. So he's on a subway, okay? It's packed. And as you can imagine, if you've ever been on the TTC, most people in the subway, they kind of keep to themselves. Everyone's quiet. Maybe they're reading. They're just thinking thoughts. You know, it's not like you see everyone having conversations with one another and it's bustling and it's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's not like that, right? Everyone's just quiet and just, you know, keeping to themselves. Well, in this subway, Stephen Covey was in the subway. A lot of people are in there. And suddenly, a father and his children enter the subway car. Now, the father looked kind of downcast. He looked kind of weary. And he sat down. He was just kind of, you know, he looked kind of down. But his kids were the opposite. I mean, they were wild. They were rambunctious. They were disturbing people. They were yelling at each other. They were screaming. And it was disrupting the subway car. And it got to the point where pretty much everyone on the subway car was looking at the father like, are you going to do something? Are you going to do something? But the father, it looked like he, A, didn't know what was going on, and B, didn't actually care what was going on. That's what it looked like. And people were getting annoyed. They were getting frustrated. And Stephen Covey was just looking. He's like, why is he not doing anything? And then finally, he's like, okay, I've had enough. And he goes to the father, and he's like, sir, your children are really disrupting people in the subway. Could you just control them a little bit? To which the father replied, oh, yeah, I should do something about that, shouldn't I? We just came back from the hospital where their mother died just an hour ago. And I don't even know how to think right now, and I don't think they know how to take it. I don't think they know how to handle it. Could you imagine being in that subway car at that moment, hearing the father say those words? What would happen? Everything changes. The people suddenly have a new paradigm for what's going on. They think differently. They feel differently. Their behavior changes. What they see changes. Everything changes. The feelings inside, the annoyance, the irritation, it vanishes in the blink of an eye because of a paradigm shift. That's just a small example of what happens when our paradigm changes. Powerful. When your paradigm changes, it has the power to change your life. Changes your life. So let's look at this more. What is a paradigm shift? The term paradigm shift, actually, it's a scientific term. It comes from a man by the name of Thomas Kuhn. He was a physicist, a philosopher, and he wrote a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolution. Okay, and in this book, he was basically, it was in 1962, he coined the phrase paradigm shift. And in this book, he was talking about what happens when a new scientific discovery happens. It changes things, changes people's ideas, perceptions about something that they thought was this way. And all of a sudden, new information comes in. It's like, whoa, I look at it now this way. And so he was describing this phenomenon. So the term paradigm shift, though it's mainly used in science. It's actually, it can also be used in a lot of different areas. In philosophy, psychology, sports, medicine, religion, and so on. The word paradigm is from the Greek language, which means it's often used to mean model or theory, but in general, it means a framework of ideas. A paradigm is a framework of ideas that we have to perceive the world around us. And that paradigm, though it is shaped by our experiences, can change, which changes everything. For example, in ancient times, astronomers, they used to believe that the Earth was the center of the universe. They had a geocentric model of the solar system. And it wasn't until like the 1500s where Copernicus had a different model, a different theory, that actually, no, it's not the Earth that's the center, it's the sun. And people were like, what are you talking about? That's crazy talk, right? And at the time, the Catholic Church was they were powerful in those days. And they couldn't handle that kind of a paradigm shift. It was too big of a shift. You know, a few years later, Galileo, with the help of a telescope, confirmed the theories of Copernicus, and he further proved that actually the sun is the center of our solar system. And again, the Catholic Church was like, they went berserk. I mean, they couldn't handle that. And so they arrested Galileo for heresy. He was sent into prison. But a lot of his work completely changed the paradigm for how we view the solar system, how we view the universe. It's massive, massive shift. And there's so many other examples of paradigm shifts. The germ theory revolutionized the way we understand how diseases are transmitted. Huge paradigm shift. I mean, back in the day, they didn't know how germs were spread. Maybe it's through the air. Maybe it's when people breathe on you. They didn't have a clear idea until the germ theory. And because of that, it changed so much of our lives. I mean, pasteurization came from that. Filter your milk because there's bacteria. You never know, right? Paradigm shift. It's powerful. The printing press. That was a huge paradigm shift. It revolutionized the way we receive information, the way people read. It gave access to more people, information, and education. It changed the world. Today we have the internet. It's fascinating how much, I mean, every 6 months or so, there's something new. Something that revolutionizes our life. Anyone have a Google Home speaker system? Anyone have one of those? Google Home? Wow. Okay, Google, what's the germ theory? Boom, tells you. Okay, Google, play Christmas music. Hark the herald angels sing. It's like, whoa, wow. Okay, Google, what's revival? Trinity Church. One day, it's going to say that, okay? It's amazing. It revolutionizes our life. The way we communicate, the way we keep in touch with people. Look, in the pre-internet days, when you lost touch with your high school friends, you never saw them again. And now you have to see them again. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, it's like, oh, you see their kids and you see everything. You're like, right? It changes our lives. Paradigms, when they change, can change everything. And so when we read Acts chapter 9, what we're reading about is a massive paradigm shift that takes place in the life of Paul. So let's think about that. Let's look at that a little more. Who was Paul? Romans 11, 1 says this about Paul. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul's describing his ethnic, sociological, religious background. Right? He's saying, look, I come from Abraham, the line of Abraham. I'm the real deal here. Okay? Of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, one of the last two that are a part of the New Testament. I'm one of them. Okay? And he's saying, look, I'm a Jew, pure Jew. Okay? That's what he's saying. He goes on to define who he was in Philippians 3. Verse 4 to 5 that says this, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. So Paul is describing his identity, what he was. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the religious group in Jesus' day that were the most opposed to Jesus. Now, you know what I find fascinating about the Pharisees? The Pharisees, at the core of their movement, was let's live right for God. That's the core of their movement. Very noble. Okay? But what they did was they created this whole system of laws and traditions and so on. It was so, it just shifted them so far away that when God's Messiah came, they didn't see him. That's fascinating to me. They wanted to live right for God. They were looking for the Messiah, but they were so far shifted that when the paradigm shift came, they couldn't see it. They didn't see it. Isn't that fascinating? That's who Paul was. He was a Pharisee. And not only just some regular Jewish person, he was a Pharisee. And he was one that persecuted the church. He wanted this movement of Jesus followers to die, to stop. I mean, he was passionate about that. In Acts chapter 7, it talks about the stoning of Stephen. Maybe you remember that story. And then Acts chapter 8 begins by saying that Saul approved of that execution. Wow. He was so against Jesus. But then something happens to him. Something happens to Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's got some letters with him. Those letters gave him authority to go into the synagogues, the places where people are gathered to worship in Damascus, to go there and look for these Jesus followers, capture them, and bring them back to Jerusalem. That's what he was doing. That's how set he was on ending this movement. And so on the road to Damascus, Jesus comes and meets him in a powerful way. He has an incredible visitation from Jesus. And Jesus speaks to him and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I love how Paul answers it. He goes, who are you, Lord? Do you notice that? He recognized the authority in the voice. He knew that he wasn't just talking to some anybody. There was authority. Who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And the story goes on. Paul's paradigm has changed, and his life has changed. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, it says this, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Talk about a literal paradigm shift. I mean, before, his sight was set on ending the church. The Spirit of God comes, Jesus reveals himself to him, he gets struck with blindness, and then those scales come off, giving him new sight. A totally new way to see who Jesus is. And then it goes on and he says this, he rose and was baptized. Paul was baptized. That's astounding. Baptism is the ultimate display of one's total surrender to Jesus. When you get baptized, you are preaching to the world saying, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's what you're saying when you get baptized. Paul is saying that. Isn't that incredible? Just moments before, he wants to end the Christian movement. And now he's getting baptized into it and preaching the very message he was seeking to silence. That is amazing. One meeting with Jesus changed everything. It changed his paradigm, which changed his behavior, his actions, his life. That's the power of a paradigm shift. The paradigm produces the behavior. And so this morning, I want to leave you with a taste of a paradigm shift that takes place when you meet Jesus. And I also want to leave you with one key way we can position ourselves to receive a paradigm shift. Today was actually an example of positioning ourselves. You know, Trinity, we've been positioning ourselves for many years to see this happen all the time, every time. Transform lives. Be a part of God's plan to redeem this world. So I want to leave you with one key paradigm shift and one way we can position ourselves for a paradigm shift. Number one, a paradigm shift that happens is this. The focus of your passion in life changes. The focus of your passion in life changes. Now, we like to put people into categories, right? There are introverts, extroverts, optimistic people, pessimistic people. Some people say, I'm a realist. I think realists are pessimists in denial. There's outgoing people, reserved people. And we might tend to think that there's passionate people and not so passionate people. I don't believe that's true. I believe everyone has a passion. It's just maybe expressed a bit differently, but everyone, every single person has a passion and they express it outwardly. Think about someone you know who tends to be quiet, tends to be more reserved, or maybe they're a person of very few words. How are you? Good. Did you have a good vacation?
Yep.
But then you talk about something that sparks their interest and boom, what happens? They get excited about it. They talk about it. And they go on and on about it, describing what that thing is. And you're like, whoa, what just happened here? You just entered their passion zone. Everyone's got one. There's someone in my family who is like this. He's super quiet. Man of very few words. In fact, a man of very few emotional expressions. You don't know if he's happy or mad. Is he happy or is he really mad? Like, you don't know, right? He's just medium. He's just, I was going to say flat, but that's not nice. He's even, okay? Neutral. That's a good one. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, he's neutral. Neutral. He's neutral. And, you know, we talk about things. Well, I talk usually, but then I mention things about, I just mentioned technology, okay? And it's like he comes alive. It's like I activated Google Home. It's like, whoa. And he tells me about things that I didn't even know were things. I mean, it's just, whoa. And I just entered his passion zone. It's amazing. It's astounding when that happens. We all have a passionate zone, a passion spot, an object that ignites passion in our lives. We all have it. Our kids, our home, our car, our church family, our flowers, pictures, stamps, whatever. Butter tarts. Yes. It's one of my resolutions, though. I'm going to cut down the eating of butter tarts. Until March. When you meet Jesus, when Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, and you respond, and you let him in, everything changes. He becomes the focal point of all your passion. Not that any of those other things are bad. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love our life. I mean, I love it. It's not that any of those passions are wrong. It's just Jesus becomes the lens in which I view all other passions in life. Everything through the lens of Jesus. And so my life becomes, Jesus, help me love my wife the way you love her. Jesus, help me love my kids and shape them the way you do. I need your help, Jesus. Everything. Everything. All your passions through the lens of Jesus Christ. That's what happens. This Jesus who was crucified, who died on the cross for our sin, who sacrificed everything for you and me, whose love for you and me took him to that place of sacrifice, this Jesus suddenly comes into focus. This Jesus who rose again from the dead, victorious over the devil, who sends us his Holy Spirit so that we too can walk in victory, he suddenly becomes in focus. And when Jesus comes into focus, you know what it's like? It's like a smartphone, your smartphone camera. You know, if you want to take a picture of a butter tart, okay? See, I'm holding a butter tart. There's times where the butter tart itself is totally out of focus. Have you ever had that happen when you're taking a picture of something up close? Right? The object is blurry and everything else is in focus. You know, that's what it's like for some people. When you talk to them about Jesus, it's just they can't focus. Jesus is out of focus. Everything else is in focus. But suddenly, the camera zooms in on the butter tart. And it's focused in very clearly. What happens to everything else? Out of focus. The background, the sides, the objects surrounding it, out of focus, and that one thing comes into focus. When Jesus becomes clear like that, your passion, your attention, all your affection is drawn to him. And it changes everything. Everything. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing this morning. Jesus walks into the room. He touches our lives. He reorients our perspective to him. And for some people, they cry. For some people, they are stuck. Some people, they are filled with joy and they smile and they laugh and they... Jesus becomes the focus of our passion. He becomes my magnificent obsession. This is what happened to Paul. The centerpiece of his life became Jesus, and it changed everything. His life totally changed. Meeting Jesus changes the focus of your passion. But how many of you know that in life, our focus can shift? From time to time, it can. Our focus can shift. Sometimes when we're, you know, trying to take a photo, it comes into focus, but then it comes out of focus at times. It happens. How do we regain that focus? How do we come back to that place where we regain focus and have another paradigm shift? How do we do that? Well, I want to leave this with you today. One way we can position ourselves, posture ourselves to receive a paradigm shift is this. Listen for Jesus to speak to you. God speaks to us. We are his sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We were learning this in the Hearing God seminar. That's a low bar Jesus set. For who can hear God's voice? My sheep hear my voice. Sheep are not the smartest animals. And I'm not. I'm one of them. I'm a sheep. Okay? We are all sheep. We can hear his voice. It's our birthright. It's our Christian birthright. Listen. Oftentimes we spend time talking and not enough time listening. Joseph Johnson spoke on this last week. Very powerful sermon last week, right? I mean, it wouldn't work in a marriage if I only talked and never listened. That'd be brutal. Communication is key. Paul heard the voice of Jesus on the way to Damascus, and he recognized his voice, and Jesus told Paul what to do, and he did it. And actually, everything that Jesus said would happen, happened. It was quite amazing. That's essentially the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life isn't, let's come to a building once a week listen to an Asian guy talk and put money in a brass-colored bucket and go home. No, that's not Christianity. That's a family gathering, sure. The normal Christian life is walking with Jesus, listening, trusting, obeying. That's the normal Christian life. I want to share with you a crazy story and then we'll wrap it up, okay? David and I, is David here? Did he go downstairs? Anyway, Pastor David and I, we meet on Tuesdays for pastors, kind of like a staff meeting, just to go over the week and go over upcoming things and so on. And we usually meet here. But this past Tuesday, I just had this thought, let's meet at Queen Street Commons. Anyone know where Queen Street Commons is? Great place downtown. The Working Center runs Queen Street Commons. It's a really neat place. I like to go there to do my work sometimes, mostly because I know I will get interrupted. And I like that. I actually like that. And there are people downtown, like Kitchener, downtown Kitchener folks who know me from the past. I used to work at Ray of Hope, who know me, who would come and say, hey, Pastor James, can you pray for me? Or, hey, Pastor James, do you have a minute? And that minute turns into 2 hours. But anyways, I like that. And so I decided, you know, hey, do you want to meet at Queen Street Commons? And yeah, okay, sure, let's do that. And so we had an agenda of what we needed to do. So we get there, and I noticed that there was this lady sitting by herself, and I recognize her. Her name is Annie, Pastor Annie. You would remember her, Lori, from Soaring on Eagle's Wings. She was sitting at a table by herself with her head down like this, and she just looked very discouraged. And she looked up like this and went, oh, like that, when she saw me and David. And she was just like, oh. And she came over and she's like, I can't believe you guys are here. Like, I'm having a rough start to this year. I've been sick. She's just, a lot of things have been happening in her life. Very unfortunate turns of events. And she was sick. She hadn't eaten in like days, was weak, and just said, you know, when I saw you, she said this, when I saw you guys come, you were the answer to my prayers. This is a divine appointment. And I'm like, what? Okay. She's like, can you just spend just a moment? Sorry to interrupt you. Would you pray for me? I'm like, absolutely. So she sat down and we prayed for her. We prayed that God would restore her, that she would be given new strength. And we just spent time. In fact, the entire time that we were supposed to meet, we dedicated to this lady, Annie. And by the end of the talk, she was a different person. She had strength. She was like, yeah, it's like she's been given this new vision for life. It was just, wow. I prayed and you guys came. It's like, wow, that is so incredible. And you know what? It blessed me in some ways more than maybe it blessed her. We just had this thought. Don't meet here, meet at Queen Street Commons. I mean, what? Okay. And we go there, and we were right in the middle of a God appointment. Because God wanted to do something in her life, and he sends two sheep to do that. Let me tell you something. My paradigm shifted. And I realized, you're in control, God. I'll listen more. Because when you listen to God and obey what he says, incredible things happen. And it changes your paradigm. It changes the focus of your passion. It changes everything. God is good. God is good. We're in the middle of a paradigm shift. I believe we are in the midst of a paradigm shift. And that paradigm is God is with us. I mean, we know that intellectually, right? But when you know it through experience and know it because you're seeing it, it's totally different, isn't it? That's the season we're entering, church. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. So come on out tonight. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I do know that God's going to meet us in a powerful way. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you, God. You know, oftentimes, Lord, we focus on the wrong things. We focus on our behaviors. We focus on, if I could just do it this way and that way. Often what is needed is a change in our paradigm. And Lord, only you can do that. And so, Lord, we come to you now. Each and every one of us who are here, and we ask, Lord, would you give us a vision? Would you give us a revelation for our lives this year? As we look back at 2017 and ponder how quickly that year went by, but also how much has happened in that year, and also things that we wish could have happened last year. As we ponder and then look forward to 2018, Lord, there is a lot of hope and optimism and faith in what you're going to do in our lives this year. Would you give us a paradigm for what you are calling us to do this year? And let your vision be our vision. That your thoughts would be our thoughts. Although your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord, in Christ Jesus, we have access to the mind of Christ. And so I ask for that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. God is good.